Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me somebody on the phone. He's a part of two legendary groups. Let's get that straight. Two legendary groups of hip-hop. I won't make the intro long. He's a part of the legendary, one of my favorite groups of, let's say, Helter Skelter. I have the legendary Rock of Helter Skelter and Bootcamp Clipper on the phone.
What it do, what it do, what it look like?
Yeah, happy belated birthday, Rock.
Hey, man, thanks, man. I'm still celebrating.
Yeah, I can see that, sir. That's good, man. It's good that you're still celebrating life, man.
Yeah, man. If you could celebrate New Year's, then you could celebrate your own New Year. Go hard.
It's good. It's good to see how such in a good space you're in, because I'm only 27, so I was only a kid when you released Nocturnal, sir. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, can you hear me, sir?
Oh,
okay. So I was only a kid when you released Nocturnal. I'm just super curious, because I never got to really got the backstory behind this. What inspired your stage name, Rock?
Well, it was kind of an evolution. Like back in the days, rap names, you know, like Rock would just be like a part of a person's name. Like, it was, you had Cool Rock Ski from the Fat Boys. You had, like a Pete Rock from Pete Rock and CL Smooth. You know, that was a common thing. One of the Beastie Boys' name was Ad Rock. You know what I mean? So my name was originally Jab Rock. You know what I mean? Jab is just basically my first, my initials, J&B. And I just added an A because I didn't have a middle name. And, you know what I mean? And then, you know, as I got older, I became the name, like, the Jab. You know, I was in the streets doing a bunch of fighting and whatnot. The Jab became, you know, my favorite weapon in a fist fight. And after a while, the, you know, Jab turned into JB Rock, right? And then one day my man just suggested, one of my homeboys was like, yo, you should just be the Rock, just be Rock. You know what I mean? Actually, it was like, you should just be the motherfucking Rock, because I used to say that all the time in raps. And that was my name for a while. You know what I mean? The whole thing, like A Tribe Called Quest, it was the motherfucking Rock. But eventually, I just dropped all of that, and I became Rock. Every other moniker, like Rock Miss Monster and stuff like that, all of that came later. But it started with Jab Rock.
Okay, I never knew it was started by with Jazz Rock, because I knew that you, like, all your rockness came after that. I know that for a fact, but I never knew the Jazz Rock story, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to me, I still have the AKA Bummy Jab, you know what I mean? That was Jab. The Jab was dropped, you know, it was just Jab without the Rock. It was just, you know, I just added a description to the front of it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I was a bummy dude back in the days. I wasn't the fly dude. And even though I'm a kind of fly dude now, I still, you know, I keep that grounded bummy mentality. So, Bummy Jab.
Because you keep it true to your roots. Never forget where you came from.
Yeah.
So, another thing, too. Smith & Western, they debuted on The Shining. Because I was just more curious about, like, because you know how Bootcamp Clip Owen had their own groups, like Helter Skelter, Smith & Wesson, Original Gun Club. I'm actually curious on how you and Sean formed Helter Skelter.
I mean, it was a family thing. We were just in the same situation. And, I mean, we was in the same circle, running in the same circles, and it just fit. You know what I mean? From the moment I first heard him rap and knew that we had so many mutual friends, I knew that he was probably going to be my partner. You know what I mean? I just had to work it out. You know what I mean? I had to connive and scheme to make it happen. I didn't just walk up on him and be like, yo, we should be partners. I felt like that would be corny. But, you know, we just played our position. We kept doing what we was doing. We was running. We was in the streets doing dirt. And, you know, in our spare time, we was rapping. And essentially, we just naturally pulled together. Like, you know, gravity just pulled us together. Like, he originally had another partner. And so did I.
It's kind of, I love hearing stories like that because, like, it just, like, certain situations you put yourself in life and then you never know, like, what can happen in the long run with that.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, yeah, I'm a pretty calculated dude, you know what I mean? I always have been, you know, for a good part of my life. So, like I said, I kind of knew he was going to be my partner from the first time I heard his rhyme because I already knew him. As a kid, you understand? Yeah, our mothers knew each other. You know what I mean? But when I heard him rap, was right around the same time we started hanging out with the same people. And it was like, nah, I was like, I need that right there. You know what I mean? So I kind of tricked him into it. I ain't trick him into it, but I just tricked him into it. I mean, I tricked Steel into Boot Camp Click too. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't trick him into it, but it was a thing where I saw something going on, and I just felt like it would be corny to be like, "Yo, can I get down with that?" So yeah. I just played my position, and you know what I'm saying, and you know, like, and just proceeded with caution. You know what I mean? I built the relationship first, and then the creative shit just happened naturally.
But see, that's how some of the best things work, is just by, you know, chemistry with the another person and other people.
Yeah, so that was my thing, you know what I mean? Like, so that was how Helter Skelter started. That was essentially how Boot Camp started as well. Like, Steel was doing his thing. Like, from the time I seen his moment, you know, I seen his movement, like, you know, he already had, you know, his DJ was, you know, it was him. He had a hype man, he had a DJ, he had two dancers, like, his movement was together. Meanwhile, my movement wasn't. And, you know, and it wasn't nothing I could do about it, because the dudes that were closer to me at the time, you know, they just wasn't really about that life. They were my, you know, some of the best friends I ever had, but they wasn't, their heart wasn't in that. So, you know, I was like, I looked at what Steel was doing, I was like, nah, I need to combine what I'm doing with that. And, you know what I'm saying?
So
that's what happened.
When you met Steel too in high school, was Tech also around the same time? Like around?
No, I didn't go to the same high school as them. Me and Steel are from the same project.
Oh, okay. Sorry, same project. Sorry. So, yeah. When you met Steel, did you meet Tech first, or was it just Steel first you met?
Steel from my project. Okay.
Oh no! Yeah, sorry, I mixed up the question. So I'm reading my notes wrong. Sorry. So I meant to say, when you met Steel in your projects, did you meet Tech around the same time too?
Nope, not at all. Like I said, Tech is not from our project. He's not from our hood. Tech and Steel met each other in high school.
Okay. Just because, like, the way that certain groups sound together, you would have thought they grew up together, like, all their lives. Like how you and Sean did, you can tell you guys grew up together.
I mean, but we didn't, though. I mean, our mothers knew each other, but we didn't grow up with each other. I mean,
did you guys know each other as kids?
We did know each other, but we didn't have any real interaction. I was at Ruck's 11th birthday party, but that was it. You know what I mean?
Oh.
We weren't around each other a lot as kids. We linked up later when we, you know, when we were doing street shit.
But so you knew of him as a kid, and then when you guys got older, it's like, hey, you know, like, I'm from your hood. Projects.
Well, he's from another set of projects, but like I said, our mothers knew each other, so, you know what I mean? Like, I knew Ruck's younger brother before. I knew him better first, you know what I mean? Because his younger brother was his mother's youngest child, and so, therefore, he was closer to their mother, you know what I mean? And I was my mother's youngest, so I was closer to my mother. I mean, you know, we're talking like when I was like 9 years old and shit. And Stuck B, Ruck's younger brother, was younger than I am. So, you know, we were still kids. You know, Ruck was he lived with his other mother, who was his aunt. You know what I mean? So, me and Ruck weren't around each other. I was at his 11th birthday party, but that was it until I was like 16. Then we was around each other.
So also, too, like, in the 90s and stuff like that, did you guys, because you were Decepticon, and I won't get into that. For the people who don't know, just look up Decepticon. It's a gang in New York. I'm just wondering, too, like, did you guys all know that you guys wanted to pursue rap, or is that just something that kind of came later?
I mean, we were already all rapping by the time we met each other. I mean, by the time we all became friends, well, not all of us. Tech wasn't rapping, he was Steel's right hand man. So you know, he was doing whatever Tech was doing with whatever Steel was doing. It was like, have you ever seen the show, The Blacklist?
Yes, I have.
All right, Steel was like Raymond Reddington, and Tech was like Dembe. No matter what it was, Dembe was by Red's side, period. Whatever. If he was doing it, he was there holding him down. So eventually Tech was like, fuck it, might as well learn how to rhyme. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Ruck, me and Ruck, we already knew how to rap before we met each other. I mean, before we linked up with each other. You know what I mean? Half of us did, the rest the other. Of Boot Camp Click, half of us already knew how to rap. We taught the other half.
Oh, so it's like, it's kind of like, opening the doors, like, for people's talents, like, they never knew they had.
It wasn't even that. It was like, this is the family business. We about to teach you how to work. Go. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether they had the talent or not, we didn't know. We didn't care at the time. It was more about the family than it was that at a certain time. We thought, you know, since it came so natural to us, we didn't know. Like, I didn't fully understand that you had, you know, I didn't fully understand what it really took to do this shit. You understand what I'm saying? I thought anybody could do it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if I show you how, you can do it. And that was what we did. You know what I mean?
So, too, like, when you were showing people, like, do you see, like, the recording process and how it changed from the 90s to 2018?
I don't know. I mean, like, I've seen it, but not with my people. We record a certain way, and that just is what it is. I mean, all the way down to my youngins, you know what I mean? The recording process is pretty much the same.
And,
I mean, I see other people record differently. Like, I see people go in there with nothing. They go in the booth and they come up with one line, they record that, and then they record another line, and then they, you know, all of that stuff. I see people do that, but that's just, you know, that's not my process, and, you know, that's not a process that most of the dudes I'm around use. I mean, I'm not, you know, no disrespect to whoever uses it.
Yeah.
It actually comes out really dope sometimes. I understand why it works when it does. But, you know, that's just not my process, and I don't really care about it, you know, it doesn't, you know, I don't really think too much on it. My process works for me so far as I know, you know what I mean?
You just know when you step in the booth, that fire comes out.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time.
So, is it true that you were behind the cover for Nocturnal?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm just wondering, too, because what drew me to, album covers draw me to listen to the album, and when I saw that album cover, have you ever heard of the show called Goosebumps?
A show called Goosebumps? I think I might have, but I've never seen it.
It's like a 90s horror teen show that was on YTV in the 90s. So it's like, that cover, that's what I was wondering, if you ever watched that show and drew inspiration from that show, because, like, that cover is very Goosebumps, like, if you know of the show. If you don't, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I definitely never saw it. I don't think I saw it. I think, I only feel like the name is familiar. I mean, Goosebumps is I could be making that up, because Goosebumps is a term I use, you know what I mean, like, to describe dope music and you know, and that feeling you get sometimes, you know, when somebody say some shit, when you saying some shit, you know, I'm telling you a true story, and it's so relevant that you get goosebumps, you know what I'm saying, like, that's, but, I might have never even heard of the show, but, you know, it does sound familiar. It might just be because of it could be because I actually heard of the show, or because I just used the term so much. But, I came up with the title, the album cover came from the title, and the title came from our lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? I'm generally, till this day, a nocturnal person, you know, and through the period while we was recording that, me and Ruck were both on it like that, but, you know, as time progressed and we got a little older, Ruck became more of a morning person. I stayed with the night, but, you know, just the fact that I took notice one day that we was always wild active at nighttime, so I came up with the title Nocturnal for the album, and with that came the idea. I just thought of things that are nocturnal, and those were bats and vampires and shit like that, and owls and shit like that. So that was what it, that was basically. It was all drawn from that.
Well, and then when you wanted to be upside down like bats, did you tell the whoever like put the album cover together? It's like, yo, put us upside down.
When I tell you, I thought you. Then you just now ask me where that you heard that concept came from me.
Sorry, what's that, sir?
You just your original question was the album cover, the concept for Nocturnal. Was that my idea, right?
Oh yeah.
That's what you asked me, right?
Yes.
And I told you yes, right?
Oh no, I meant like the photographer taking the picture.
I told you yes, right?
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Okay. I was just wondering, too, because, like, too, when you say, like, you were behind the concept of that album, too, like, what made you want to include the other members in the background?
Because that's real life. It wasn't just me and Ruck. We were both here quick.
Is it because, like, you guys wanted to, like, you know, be family, like how Smith and Wesson did the same thing on their album cover with everyone? Like, in that Ninja Star style?
That's what we do. That's family. That is, we didn't want to be anything. We were what we were. You understand? I just like I said to you from the beginning, half of us rap. We taught the other half. Because you were coming along. It's that simple. You were part of this. So if you were part of this, then you would have representation on it. You would be represented on it.
So, too, also, when you guys keep it very family, too, like, what makes you guys like that? Like, how come you don't see that most of the days within, like, people who come in all together and most of them split up? Because, like, honestly, I don't think there's never been a split up within the Boot Clan clique or the members. You guys...
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
Okay.
Yes, it has.
But you guys got over that, obviously, though.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, people expect artists to not be real human beings. Like, every friendship, every relationship goes through things, and people expect that because the audience, the general public, they feel like, you know, because they, well, I don't know if they feel like it's not supposed to be, but they have a hard time handling the fact that we're regular people too, and sometimes we squabble, sometimes we get into shit, sometimes we don't speak to each other and all of that. We ain't no different than Wu-Tang or Mobb Deep or nobody else. You understand what I'm saying? It's just that people, you know, the people didn't see it. People wasn't paying enough attention. People weren't paying enough attention to us to realize when we went through things. But some people know. Some people know that I left Duck Down for years. You understand what I'm saying? That I'm still not signed to Duck Down. That I do work like my last album ain't on Duck Down. I mean, my first solo album is not on Duck Down. But it's not beef there. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, people who followed the movement closely enough, they know that things weren't always all good. You know, if you follow the movement closely enough, ask yourself what's going on with OGC. They're not putting out no album. It's gonna happen again, but they still Boot Camp quit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Everybody goes through it. You know, we just either our shit is either private. And trust and believe, everybody that goes through it, that shit was public. They went through way more shit privately than they did publicly. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's just an educated guess from me. But all I'm saying is, with us, you know, we went through shit privately, and then on. But as far as publicly, we went through certain shit publicly. Just people, you know, y'all, the audience, weren't in tune enough to realize it. You know what I mean? But it happened.
So, like, too, when you say you didn't release solo albums on Duck Down, too, like, was your first solo album called Planet Rock?
No, it never, I mean, it didn't come out.
So that was the never released album?
Yeah.
So, like, because I seen in the Vlad interview TV that you did that, you released mixtapes as opposed to albums, right? So what's the drive behind that? Instead of, I'm just going to throw out a tape instead of an actual rock solo album, because like a mixtape between to a solo album is different towards me, at least.
It is different. hits aren't made, they're marketed. You understand what I'm saying? So you can make the dopest album in the world. It's not going to be a hit unless it's marketed to one. You understand what I'm saying? So while I wasn't on Duck Down or on no label, I wasn't putting out no album.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any marketing or any promotion for that. So I only chose to put out mixtapes during that period of time. Different. Okay. You don't need all of that. That's for the streets. That's to build the buzz.
Oh, okay. So, like, would you ever release, like, a fully produced solo album?
What?
Like, would you ever do a solo album?
My man, I just put out a solo album last year. I just explained that to you on at the beginning of this section of the conversation. I put out a solo album last year, and it wasn't on Duck Down. I'm going to need you to know these things.
Sorry, because like I said, it's just from the mixtape, from the album, and then I said you never put out an official album, and then it's just all a little bit confused right now, sir.
So, my solo album is called Rockness AP. It came out last year, September 22nd, on Digital Deja Vu Records, not on Duck Down Records. Although Duck Down are my brothers, you understand what I'm saying? But this is what just to reiterate for you, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Rockness AP. AP stands for After Price. It's Rockness After Price. I put this album out. It's a dedication album to Sean P. I never put out a solo album on Duck Down or on any other label because I wasn't on Duck Down or on any other label, so I wasn't putting out an album. This is why I put out mixtapes. Just to feed the wolves. You understand what I'm saying? So they could get, you know, so to build the buzz, and so they could know I'm not fucking dead somewhere, right? So I put out mixtapes and shit. My first solo album came out last year, and it had, you know, it was a dope album. It was a dedication to Sean P, and it had guest features from members of the Wu-Tang, Method Man, Raekwon, Inspector Deck. I had Raz Kaz on the album. I had, who else was on the album? Ron Browns. I had M.O.P. on the album. It was a dope album. Stokes. I had Kanava from D12 on the album. Smith & Wesson and Black. I mean, Smith & Wesson Buckshot was on the album. And my boy Young Noble from the Outlaws. It was like my therapy. It's my therapy album.
Just for you.
All of those features on that album, all of the features on the album came from either dudes that I'm for real personal friends with, or dudes who went through what I was going through on that album, or both. You know what I mean? The Outlaws, they've lost members. Wu-Tang, they've lost a member. Kanava from D12, he lost a member. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then M.O.P. and Raz Kaz are just my homeboys and shit. So that was the form, that was the mix for that album.
And you never know who you can help when you put out an album like that, you know, just dealing with life like that. Somebody may hear, like, a certain line, and it's like, yo, like, that shit saved my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you have any favorite memories, like, with you and Ruck, like, that you always hold close to your heart?
I mean, shit, it's too many. Like, you know, I just hope my memory holds up over the years so I don't lose none of them because there's so many of them. You know what I mean? Like, his whole existence was just one dope memory. He's one of the funniest people you ever know. You know what I'm saying? And one of the coolest dudes. You know what I mean? His brash exterior will have you confused and have you tricked into thinking that he wasn't like a real, for real, for real, real good dude. And he really was. You know what I mean?
Well, Buck also said that he lived life to the fullest, and I truly...
Hold on a second. One second.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And
yo.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to I wanted to tell you, too, like, a big reason why I started this podcast was because of Fallen Soldiers, Prodigy, and Sean Price. I believe that, you know when Prodigy died, you seen the huge amount of outpour within the community? I believe that we should give people flowers while they're still here so they can smell them. And with you, sir, I always wanted to tell you that I always had respect for your music, and I always loved that your rugged and raw voice, man. That shit was classic. And I'll always play that Nocturnal album, like, till I'm 40, till your age, sir.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Play that Rock Miss AP, though. It's the dopest shit I ever did.
All right, I'll download that, and I always make a playlist for my guests, so best believe I'm going to add some of those joints.
Right.
So, I won't take...
Yeah, like,
oh, go ahead, Mr. Rock.
I've been putting out a lot of music. It's a lot of, you know, if you just type in my name, one of the variations of it, shit, it's a mess. You know what I'm saying? You could type in Rock Miss Monster, you type in Rock of Helter Skelter, Monster Man Rocko. Like, people have uploaded shit. I have music uploaded under all those names. I mean, to no fault of my own, people do it. You know what I mean? But so that's the thing. That's the thing. Over all of those years, it's music I put out, or you can find music for damn near all of those, like from 2000 and about 4 straight till now. Like, I've been putting out music either on the mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? I was doing this Monster Monday series where I released either a freestyle or a song every Monday for 44 weeks back in 2011. You know what I'm saying?
On Instagram?
Instagram wasn't even really popping yet in 2011, but all of those songs go on YouTube and shit. Like, I compiled them and put them on. I took the best 30 out of those 44 joints and put them on 2 mixtapes. You know, 15 freestyles and 15 songs. Put them on 2 mixtapes that you could buy right on my Bandcamp and shit. I got work out there. It's just people wasn't looking. You know what I mean? Without that big promotional kit, you know, that promotion makes you visible. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you are able to miss things, like, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, you know, the problems that we might have went through, or the fact that I put out an album last year. Yeah. Because that big, you know what I'm saying? It's not your fault. You understand what I'm saying? That's just how it is. Like, if the marketing dollars ain't there, then you miss it. And, I mean, you know, it's a good chance you could miss it. A lot of people do miss it. So that's why, you know, Whitman, as an artist, you know, that's why we do interviews. That's why we do these fucking phone call interviews from our, you know what I'm saying, from our cribs and our pajamas, because we need to spread the gospel, you know what I'm saying, to let people know that there's been music, out there. It's years worth of music that people haven't been coached, that people aren't aware of, and it's dope music.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I did a web series and shit, you know what I'm saying, like, it went on a really long hiatus, but there are 5 episodes of it out there on YouTube. It's called Tips, the series. And what else? Fucking mixtapes, Rocking Out West, Shell Shot, all of this dope stuff. You can just Google. You could just type it on YouTube and get caught up on some more rock shit. You know what I'm saying? Catch yourself up. You know what I mean?
Definitely will. And what's that web series again, for the people who might not have heard?
The web series is called Tips the Series. That's how you find it on YouTube. Type in Tips the Series as one word. You know what I mean? I did another series called Atlantic City Chronicles, where I'm doing, well, for real acting in that too. You know what I mean? It's a lot of shit out
there.
That's
on YouTube, isn't it?
I don't know. It might be. I mean, Tips is definitely on YouTube, but Atlantic City Chronicles has its own website and all of that. But like I said, you might want to get caught up on all of this, because it's a lot of new shit on the way. You understand what I'm saying? And I got an album with Ron Browse. I'm about to finish up right now. I got an album with Rock Walla. I'm about to start. And then I have and then I have my life's work. The album is called The Man, The Myth, The Monster. So, and all of that shit is about the, you know, like, that's the album I was working on before P passed. You understand what I'm saying? But then P passed, and I just put that on hold and did Rock Miss AP. So, long story short, I know I'm saying a lot right now, but it's a lot good. You You know what I'm saying? It's a lot happening, and I need, you know, for anybody in ears reach, you know what I'm saying? If you listening, I need you to get caught up, and then I need you to keep up, because it's coming. You know, it's a bunch of shit on the way.
For the people who don't know, Rock Wilder and Ron Brown's legendary producers.
Right.
So, Mr. Rock, I won't take up much of your time. I'll ask you this last question that I ask all my guests, and I feel like you're a good person to ask this question to.
Mm-hmm.
Have you have any words for someone in a dark place trying to see the light? You can take your time, sir. I understand it's a tough question.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, it's hard. I mean, like, because you never know where darkness is. You know, the darkness comes in so many forms, and, you know, you just never know what it is, you know, what to say to a person in particular, but just know that you ain't alone. You understand what I'm saying? Like you are not alone. I don't know if that helps or if it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, you're not alone, and whether you believe it or not, it's probably worth it to fight your way out of the dark, you know what I mean? I understand sometimes it's easy to just not fight, like, fuck this shit. I mean, fuck this shit. I understand that feeling. But it's probably worth it to fight your way out of the dark, you know what I mean?
Well, if somebody going through a tough time in their life, I hope they can take some of that advice from the legendary Rock and run with that.
Nah, I mean, you ain't alone. Shit, I'm in Brownsville. It's a dark place on a sunny day. You understand what I'm saying? If you're a black man in America, you can very easily be depressed. If you any artist struggling in your, or anybody struggling in your, like the financial constructs, the constricts, or whichever word I'm looking to use, the situation out here is enough to depress almost all of us. You understand? As black men in America, you know what I mean. So when I tell you ain't alone, you are not the fuck alone. Trust me.
I believe you, sir. I definitely believe you. Is there anything that you would want to plug in, sir, before I let you go?
Yeah, just follow me on my shits, on all of my social medias. My website is iamrockmiss.com. Instagram, rockmissbcc. On Facebook, I'm Rock of Health the Skelter. And on Twitter, I'm _rockmiss_. You know what I mean? But any one of those will lead you to any one of those. So if you could remember rockmissbcc on IG, you got me.
And don't worry, sir. I'll make sure people get to know you with my little following too, sir.
Right, that's what I appreciate.
Hey, man, with that, that's another episode from The Desk of Low, featuring Rock of Helter Skelter and Bootcamp Clip. Make sure y'all go grab that Rockness AP album.